There has been a steady drumbeat of dire news about climate change this fall. The latest is a comprehensive government report that foretells devastating consequences for the nation's ecosystems and economy, as well as people's health, unless significant actions taken right away. The scale of the challenge can seem overwhelming, even to people who dedicate their careers to documenting and combating climate change. But according to Mainers who do work in that field, change can start at home. Fred Bever has more.
Even for those in the forefront of climate change research, the findings of the latest studies are pretty daunting.
The big take-home was that climate change is just everywhere. It is going to just more and more start to affect every aspect of our lives, both as individuals, as a state, as a country.
Andy Pershing is chief scientific officer at Portland's Gulf of Maine Research Institute, and he was the lead author of the Oceans and Marine Resources section of the U.S. government climate report that was issued the day after Thanksgiving. Meeting the challenges ahead, he says, will require unprecedented action by governments at all levels.
So then the question is, like, what does that mean for an individual? I think for an individual, what I've come to think about is that it really comes down to kind of moral leadership, just showing that it is possible to make choices that lead to a lower carbon, you know, a lower personal carbon footprint, and that's possible. It's possible to do that and have a satisfying life. And so that's what we've been trying to do.
Pershing bought a used Toyota Prius a few years ago. Then he converted his home heating system from oil to electric heat exchangers, which provide efficient air conditioning in summer, too. He says he takes the bus or train whenever possible in his frequent travels. It's the kind of personal effort that other Maine residents whose professions revolve around climate change are making as well. Some choose to live close to their workplace, cutting down on transportation emissions. Some try to eat less meat, whose production generates much more greenhouse gas pollution than plant-based foods. Still,
to look at this problem and find some good news or some optimism in what we could do is difficult.
Barney Balch is a senior scientist at the Bigelow Laboratory for Ocean Sciences in East Boothbay, where he studies tiny phytoplankton, which are increasingly challenged by climate change's effects. He makes a lot of public presentations, and he says the question he most often hears is, well, what can a person do about it? And he was kind of stumped, he says, by the sheer scale of the problem, until he noticed that in the U.S., during some economic slowdowns, emissions were in fact reduced, because carbon-emitting energy production slowed as well.
I realized that the reason for optimism there is that we humans actually can do something about the trajectory of CO2. And that got me thinking, well, heck, there are some things that we could do to try to neutralize our carbon footprint.
So Balch and his wife installed solar panels on the roof of their barn. Then they bought an all-electric Chevrolet Bolt.
And it goes about 18,000 miles a year on the energy produced by those eight silly solar panels.
They also converted their heating system to electric heat pumps powered by more barn roof solar panels. Result? Balch reduced his carbon footprint by about 22,000 pounds this year, the equivalent of planting 570 trees, he says.
All of the small changes do really add up in a significant way.
For Kathleen Meal, who spent much of her career working for an energy efficiency contractor, lowering her personal carbon footprint is a process that started close to home.
I guess my personal actions date back to those days of insulating my 1856 farmhouse to within an inch of its life.
Meal, who is now a policy advocate for the Acadia Center, an environmental research and advocacy group, says she sought financial assistance from Efficiency Maine. That's a program funded by surcharges on electricity and natural gas bills and by pollution allowances that electricity plants in the region must buy. It helps Mainers offset the cost of bigger ticket items such as a home retrofit or buying a heat pump. But even for those who might not have the discretionary income for such purchases, Efficiency Maine is helping with one small buy that can make a big difference.
The easiest, most easily available thing that everyone can do in terms of buying new equipment that they're going to use in their home or their business is look at their lights.
Michael Stoddard is Efficiency Maine's director. He notes that at stores throughout the states, ultra-efficient LED light bulbs subsidized by Efficiency Maine are priced at about the same as an incandescent bulb, and they use about a fifth as much electricity.
So it's pretty cool. And it will last you for 15 to 20 years, that bulb. So if you're like me and you're worried about your old man getting up on a step stool to replace light bulbs, which you shouldn't be doing, you can put one in and it'll be there for many, many years. They won't have to worry about that.
And just maybe worry a little bit less about what they can do to make a meaningful dent in reducing carbon emissions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.